This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
10:24 on a Sunday morning. Kevin Gorg joining us from FanDuel Sports North. Are you in Ottawa or are you back on the road, KG? Where are you?
We are in Boston. Got here late last night.
Oh, man.
The team has an off day in Boston, which is always cherished. Love this city. Love having an off day on the weekend here. We'll have a practice day tomorrow at Boston University, and then they'll play the Bruins on Tuesday. It's been a road-heavy schedule. This is another one of those long road trips. It's a 5-game road trip with a little break at the front end where the Wild got to come home for a day after the game last Sunday in Chicago.
A very tough one last night against an Ottawa team that has some pretty good scorers. I don't think they're the caliber of the Wild, but to get run out of there 6-0, that's a lopsided loss, KG. What in your mind was the biggest factor?
I think the biggest factor was the amount of effort and emotion put into the game in Montreal two nights before. And I think people that watched and listened to that game, Marc-Andre Fleury's last in his hometown, They got a taste of it. But to be in that building and to talk to the players directly after the game about the impact that game had on them, all of us in the traveling party were talking in the day leading up to the game at Ottawa, a team playing extremely well, a team that plays with speed and very physical. And the Wild, to me, it was a letdown spot. Now, I didn't see 6-0 coming, but the game certainly had some caution to it leading into it. And, you know, let's be honest. When you play an 82-game schedule, you're not going to have your absolute best every night. And as I handicapped the game the next day, I think Ottawa had their absolute A-plus game, and I think the Wild probably had something closer to a C-minus or a D-plus game. And, frankly, I mean, in a game where they lose 6-0, their goaltender was their best player. So, yeah. Luckily, you can wash it, you can flush it, and I think if you go back to where we were a week ago, leading into that game against the Blackhawks, you had just lost on Hockey Day Minnesota, you weren't playing your best hockey, you just found out that Kirill Kaprizov was going to need surgery, and you had 5 straight games on the road. Well, here we are a week later, they're 3-1 on this trip, and you win on Tuesday night in Boston, you go 4-1, that's not a good trip, that's a great trip. So the game in Ottawa can absolutely be forgiven. I would expect a big bounce back performance. And it wasn't a lot of fun last night, and there weren't a lot of happy faces as we went through customs. But I think this has been a team all year long that's overcome adversity and handled setbacks pretty well with good bounce back efforts.
Kevin, when we really look at it too, when you talk about getting all amped up for that game against Montreal and actually what Fleury was able to accomplish with 19 saves, pretty amazing. So you've got that energy level that lifted everybody up, I think. And then you've got all of these injuries. So is there anything that these guys are trying to piece together to understand why the injuries just keep on stacking up right now for the Wild?
Well, I think, you know, the way they look at it is that they're on the back nine in terms of dealing with these injuries. You know, the Kirill thing is obviously the elephant in the room, Pete. And certainly when you have high-end talent and a guy like Kirill Kaprizov, he could still be playing right now. We saw what he did in those couple games when he came back. But the Wild look at this season as a season where they want to be at their best leading into the playoffs. And they are going to be a playoff team. And so rather than have Kirill grind through it at 60 or 70%, they made the decision to get him 100%. And they're going to have to live without him for 4 to 6 weeks right now. But the silver lining is when they get him back in March, in the final month, the push to the end of the season, he's going to be ready to go. And, you know, the injuries, I think we've put a lot of it from a Wild standpoint behind us because Brodin and Johansson are the last two outside of Kaprizov, and they're both skating. And according to both Bill Guerin, who's on the trip, and head coach John Hines, as recent as yesterday, one or both of those guys will rejoin the team here in Boston and have a chance to play on Tuesday. So I can't explain how many they've had, why they've had so many. It's been certainly a stretch of bad luck when you look at the months they've had to play without them. But they've put themselves in such a great spot that you feel like if they can legitimately get close to 100% healthy in time for the playoffs, this is a team that's got a chance to do some damage.
Kevin Gore joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. KG, I know you were in the house in Montreal in the game the other night. We were watching it at home. Everybody in my family, including my wife, who's not the biggest sports fan in the world, had tears in our eyes. And I explained to them the reason why is you love Marc-Andre Fleury because he's just genuinely a very good human being. He's also an outstanding, one of the best goaltenders we've seen. I'll just put that out there. Being in the house the other night, on television it looked amazing. What was it like to experience that those final few moments of that period where they're giving a standing ovation to him? The Canadian players are lining up at center ice to give him a high five. He comes back out. It was just it was one of those moments where I said, these are the moments that separate hockey from other sports. You don't see this in other sports. What was it like to be in there and witness that first person?
Well, I get chills just listening to you kind of recant the evening, and I did get choked up, and I did cry. And that hasn't happened a lot. In my 19 years on the job, it was extraordinary. And I think the thing with Flower, and I've tried to think about this and reflect on it, if he was a jerk, okay, if he was just not the greatest guy to deal with, and he had put together the career he has put together, 21 years, the three cups, and just the way he has played with that acrobatic style, that entertaining vibe that he brings to every game, he'd still be revered. The reason he's beloved is the person he is. He never played a game in Montreal, but I think every fan base respects the person he is. They know the talent he has. And I'll give you just another example here in the last 24 hours of who this guy is. So our travel guy is Dominic Henning. He does a fabulous job. And we're at a hotel in Ottawa where there's a youth girls hockey tournament in town. And the hotel is littered with these 8 to 10 to 12-year-old girls, and they're hockey-crazy girls. So they figure out the schedule when the Wild are coming and going on and off their bus to get to the game last night in Ottawa. Now, if you're Marc-Andre Fleury and you're that level of star, you can talk to the travel guy, and you can find a different place to leave the hotel, get on the bus, and never have to see one person.
Yep.
Both after practice and then on the way to the game, this guy stopped for 10 minutes, took pictures, signed every single bit of hockey equipment, sticks, jerseys, whatever they brought to him, and did it with a smile on his face. This happens when cameras are not rolling in every city we go to. This is the guy that he is. And I think the impact that he's had on his teammates will last here for many, many years. I think of Rossi. I think of Boldy. I think of Faber. But how about this? Last night, I'm interviewing Devin Shore, who's been up and down from Iowa, who I would not classify as one of the closer teammates to Marc-Andre Fleury. And my question in that interview that we did on our broadcast was, what was it like to experience that in Montreal two nights ago? And he said it was the greatest game he's ever had from a perspective of, this is the coolest thing I've seen as a hockey player. This is Devin Shore. Imagine the effect it's had on some of the people like John Merrill that played with him in Vegas, Freddie Gaudreau, who's extremely tight with. I mean, Freddie was still choked up a day after the game talking about it. That, to me, is what tells you everything you need to know about Marc-Andre Fleury and the type of human being he is and the type of teammate he is here in Minnesota.
Hey, so, Kevin, real quick, I know we're pushing the limits or whatever, but can we call him the Tom Brady of hockey? I mean, honestly, the career, the longevity and all of that, and outside of certain rivalries, probably one of the most liked guys, I think, around is Tom Brady. He's not as hated as maybe some would think. So I think that is it fair to compare those two?
It is. And I think the reason, you know, you look at Tom Brady and he's just more than his body of work. He's a rock star. Like, and the reason he's doing those broadcasts right now is he's Tom Brady. Marc-Andre Fleury has that effect wherever he goes. And I think the real cool thing that gets lost in the shuffle, I mentioned the young players that look up to him, and I think that he's going to have an impact on their careers all the way through. But from talking to Fleury now in the last couple of months, his family loves it here in Minnesota. And his plan is to stay in Minnesota, have the kids go to school in our great state, and then probably be a part of the organization. So this is a huge win for Minnesota. And you look back at that move by Billy Guerin, it caught all of us by surprise a few years ago on trade deadline day. And I don't think you can fully encapsulate the positivity that he's brought, aside from the fact that he's played really good hockey for this team. All the other factors, the intangibles that come along with it, if and when this team makes a Stanley Cup run in the next handful of years, and I believe that absolutely is going to happen, I don't know if you can quantify just how much this guy has brought to this team and this organization. So the Tom Brady thing fits.
I would compare you and tell you you're the Tom Brady of ice hockey broadcasters, yeah, brother.
It's true.
I always appreciate you're the best, KG. Thanks for joining us, man. Thank you for the insight. And I hope they can get one in Boston.
Yeah, let's get a bounce back win, guys. And unfortunately, there are mirrors in my hotel room here in Boston, so the Tom Brady thing isn't going to work, but I appreciate the love.
Thanks. You're the best, buddy. Take care.
Take care, guys.
Kevin Gorg, FanDuel Sports North. We'll take a break and come back. You are listening to The Huddle.